My name is Becca Dukes, and it is my honor and pleasure to bring to you each and every week information that is empowering. This particular series is near and dear to my heart. To my heart as a mother, a girlfriend, a spouse, an aunt, a chosen sister. You know, addiction is not just opiates. And going through different types of addiction and from different points of life that it affects. We will also discuss how on the outside, we can be a positive light in the life of someone who isn't in a place looking for anything or even thinking about anything but themselves and getting that next fix. And tonight I have a gentleman whose story, I like to use the word journey, started very young with multiple tragedies. Jay Burns has been through the fire with different realms of addiction and life, and he's now using his story and using it as part of a ministry in shining a light of hope to others that it is possible to get out of that dark pit and lead a productive and successful life. Jay, thank you so much for joining me tonight. I greatly appreciate you taking this time.
Hey, Rebecca, thank you so much. It's an honor to be a part of your program and hopefully to be an inspiration to somebody that may either be going through an addiction or they have a loved one that they've been suffering through, dealing with their addictions, because that can be so detrimental to someone. So it's a pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
Well, thank you so much. So share with us a little bit about what you do now, and then let's go into a little more of your story and how, when we're working with anybody, you've got tough love and then unconditional love of God. Right. So we're going to be going into that as well on this program. And please check out my website, betterbytheminutelife.com. You will be able to click on the air. I will have contact information there about Jay as well. So Jay, tell me, who are you? What do you do today?
Well, I am a interior and exterior painting contractor. I do mostly residential painting. I started the company back in 2007. At that time, it was Jay's Quality Painting. And when I was able to start it, I just kind of got my life cleaned up. I almost been a lifetime drug user, alcoholic. And it was a time in my life where I went through a Christian retreat called Trace Dias. And it was a weekend where it was over 100,000 people that were praying for that particular group of men over that weekend. And I was a part of those prayers, and the Lord just got a hold of my life. And I put every drug, every evil, sinful thing that used to be a part of me, I didn't want to have no part of, and I put it away from me. And then it was right after that, I started a painting company, and I had the blessing of the Lord behind it, and it took off, and I did very well with it. And then my brother got out of prison in 2009 from Wisconsin and came to Indiana to live with my ex-wife and myself at that time. And my brother has always been a bad influence on me. He's my older brother. He's about 4 years older. He brought in pain pills. This was the big opioid epidemic. This is when it was really just kind of taking off. I mean, it looked like candy. And the doctors were handing these things out like candy. It was unbelievable. And my brother, he was a con artist, and he would just have a way of being able to go to different doctors and get these scripts. And he would come back and he would offer these to me, for such a cheap price. And I started eating these things, not to get tired working a 8 to 10 hour a day, and you know, you're ready to go home. But boy, if you pop a couple of these tabs, you could just keep going. And it just, it added a little energy to me, and gave me the strength to keep pushing through. And I try to get too big, too fast with my company. And I started drinking more heavily. The Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. That means a little bit of sin. You know, you start giving into a little bit of sin and just kind of blows up like it takes just a little bit of yeast for that dough to rise. And that's how sin works. And that's how it worked in my life at this time. You know, I was doing so well and I started giving back into this sinful nature. But I'll tell you what probably instigated this is when I was 7 years old, I witnessed my mom being murdered. My parents got divorced when I was 5 years old. And my mother and I moved out to Phoenix, Arizona. My brother stayed back with his dad. So we were there a little after a year. And my brother came to visit us for the first time. And I remember it. I was so excited that he came on a Saturday. And I remember when he arrived, it was just like I was the most happiest kid to be with my little brother. We grew up together. And I always say to this day, he got the shorter end of the stick of the death of our mother, because that following Monday, he also had to witness his mom being killed by her boyfriend. And that, I think that did a lot of damage to me as a child. And, you know, fast forward to back to what I was originally talking about, 2009, you know, I was doing so good. My dad was murdered. So that happened to me twice. Mm. You know, I was doing so well with life. I got my life cleaned up. I was living for the Lord. And then one morning I got this phone call to go check on a place where my dad was staying. And come to find out, a couple people broke in during the middle of the night while he was sleeping and beating bloody to death with crowbars. And
oh my goodness, I'm so
just
sorry.
A bad deal. Yeah. And I tell you what, I think that contributed to my relapse, because there is a healthy way of dealing with trauma like that, and there's a non-healthy way. And instead of knowing how to deal with myself at that time or going and getting professional help, you know, I just kind of sucked it up and said, hey, I'm okay. I'm fine. You know, I'll get through this. And I've been through this before. And I was lying to myself. I wasn't okay. I was a mess. But with my mother, because I never really got professional help, and that happened to my mom. And that's just something I just kind of dealt with as a kid on my own without any real guidance to deal with it. So I learned to do that with my mother. And here this happens to my dad again, out of nowhere, at the peak of my life, doing so well, running a successful business. And this happened before my brother came. The first thing I started doing, giving into that little bit of sin, I started drinking more. I started drinking in excess. And then I remember when I relapsed on smoking marijuana. You know, they say, you know, the whole world is so accepting to marijuana, to cannabis. But I'm going to say this right now. I believe that marijuana is the most dangerous drug that is out there, because for most people, cannabis is a gateway drug. And the younger you start using that stuff, the worse it is, especially because I started my adolescence. And if a teenager starts using it when his body is still in development, you know, statistically, he's going to have, you know, mental health problems. He's going to be short fused. And more times than not, it leads into other stuff. They graduate to methamphetamine or ecstasy, or, you know, name it. So marijuana is, I'll tell you my experience. I quit smoking marijuana in 2018. I just came up on 4 years of clean from it. And 4 years of being off the marijuana, I am more focused. My memory has improved. I'm less short fused. I'm slower to anger. I mean, I am the benefits I'm reaping of sobriety from marijuana is so tremendous. I used to be one of those people that would say, you know, marijuana is, you know, it helps me because when I had a long day, it's something I come home and relax to. And there was some truth to that because my mind, my brain was accustomed to being where it needed it. And when it didn't have it, I was, you know, quick to anger, or I was short fused, or I was moody. But boy, when I smoked it, I was good. So yeah, there is some truth to that. But you'll do even better going completely sober from it and start, you know, taking the 90 vitamins and mineral that longevity recommends, you know, getting healthy, feeding your brain health stuff instead of cannabis, you will reap so much better benefits from that. So, but that's where it started, with excess drinking. And then I relapsed and smoked weed, smoked marijuana after 3.5 years of clean. And then I remember when it happened. I mean, you imagine doing so well for 3.5 years. And then that first time, I remember I smoked with my uncle on a Thanksgiving, and the convictions that the Holy Spirit put on me were terrible. It was, I felt so bad when I relapsed, and I swore this was going to be a one-time deal and I wasn't going to do it again. But you know what? The damage was already done. The very next day, I was calling my uncle to get more. Too late. Once I took that step, that's all it took. I had woken that sleeping giant. And once you wake that giant, you're starting that process all over again. So I was smoking marijuana again. I was drinking heavy. And I started taking the Laura tabs. And I'm telling you, I was taking 10 to 20 10 milligram tablets per day. And I was snorting them.
Oh, wow.
At that. You know, it started out, you know, I was building that tolerance. And once I got that tolerance up so high that, you know, you just need more and more and more. And it did some damage to my brain. I mean, damage I still suffer with today that my brain has still not recovered from. Opioids is one of the worst addictions anyone can suffer through. Opioids, heroin addiction, all that stuff, it takes your brain hostage and it doesn't give it back when you want it. And I regret the damage that it's done, but I'm able to use it for God's glory today, you know, because, you know, here I am, I have 5 years, I'm going on almost 6 years come February of being clean from addictions. This is the longest I've ever went from staying clean and sober. And it's a blessing. I went through so much terrible stuff with those addictions. I'm afraid of it, you know, and I'm afraid to give into a little bit of anything. I just don't want no part of that life. And I tell you what it takes. It takes a daily seeking the Lord. I almost strive every day to hit my knees and go to the Lord in prayer and keep a humble mind. You know, God loves the humble. God hates the proud. He hates a proud look. And in my addictions, I mean, somebody that's in addictions, especially with opioid addiction, they become selfish people. And I was such a selfish person. I got saved when I was 13 years old. I gave my life to Christ. And that happened when I was locked up in the juvenile jail. I caught two felonies. And So, you know, when you give your life to Christ, you're still with the Holy Spirit. You know, you always have the Holy Spirit living in you. So when you're living a life that's contrary to God and His word, you know, the Holy Spirit is grieving, according to Ephesians chapter 4, you know, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of your redemption. And when you're living a life that is grieving the Holy Spirit, you're going to feel it. You're going to be depressed. You're going to have mental health problems, anxiety. I've dealt with depression on levels I don't wish on nobody. You know, when you belong to Christ, there's only one way your life can truly work. And that's by serving the Lord daily, being in the word, being in His word, seeking Him, how you treat people. And when you're in your addictions, you're going to be the opposite of that. And that's why my last relapse was, it was short-lived. It was, I relapsed probably on about 3 different occasions with opioids. And my last one, it happened in 2017. And I just met a woman. And I didn't relapse until after I met her. And it was bad. I mean, I put her through literal a living hell. And you know what? She just led me through it. To this day, I have to say she was one of the most understanding, most loving persons I've ever met. And she taught me a lot about, now that I'm sober, and if I ever have to encounter somebody that's dealing with addiction, on how to treat them. It's the way she treated me. And it was, she wasn't judgmental. She never put tough love on me. She was real patient with me. She was gentle with me. There was times where I was so sick, she would help me get it. I mean, she was a sober person, but she hated to see how bad I suffered when I got sick. And she knew I hated it and I wanted out of it. But when you become dope sick, there is no, I'm done with this. When you're addicted to heroin or any kind of painkiller, opioid, you can't just turn it off. You can't just shut it down, because you're going to experience flu-like symptoms times 20.
I mean, was going to say, it's, you get sick all over and feel like you're going to die.
Exactly. And your whole body shuts down. Your mind shuts down. I mean, your brain will not function until you give it some kind of opioid. It's terrible. But it was so critical. I mean, her love through that addiction, I really believed, inspired me to get cleaner quicker, because I hated seeing what it did to her. I truly cared about her. And how she was able to love on me through all that I put her through, it amazed me. It truly amazed me how someone can be so patient with someone that's so selfish. But she did. And she saw me through that addiction. And you know what? She paid for my treatment to go get help. And it wasn't cheap. And that was huge. So I want to say to anybody that is suffering with a loved one that is out there addicted, to be careful not to do the tough love. Because I tell you, if it would have been tough love, if she would have tried to do the tough love stuff on me, I would have ran from her. I would have got away from her. I don't have time for tough love. I'm sick. I don't feel well. I don't have time for someone to be impatient with me. I just need you to just kind of stand by my side and just love on me, and because I'm trying to get through this. And that's what she was. And I tell you, she's a believer. She's a Christian. I believe she had the strength of God helping her through that a lot. She did a lot of praying over me. There was times I remember where it looked like I was probably almost about to die from ODing. I remember she would grab me and tears would just be running down her cheeks, and she would be praying over me. And I was barely, you know, conscious, you know, I was nodding off real bad. And so I was just kind of stuck, but I could feel her spirit praying over me. And it was huge. It was. I mean, God heard her prayers and he moved through it. He really did. So I say it again, you're dealing with someone that's going through it. Just love on them. Don't judge them. And maybe not everybody is easy to love. And, you know, if they're, you know, at a place where they're stealing or they're dangerous, I mean, obviously you have to get away from them like that, but you can love them from a distance if it's that bad. But allow it not to be just your love, but the love of Christ, because I believe it was the love of Christ in and through her that I experienced that encouraged me to go get sober, because I wanted to be the husband. I wanted to be the man that she deserved. And I knew it wasn't going to happen if I continued down my addiction path. And I hated it. I was miserable. I didn't want to be in it. You know, it was my third relapse. And the day it started is when I fought to get rid of it. I mean, so it was about 6 months. But I tell you, as soon as I got off of it, it was, I quit in February of 2018. And then I quit smoking marijuana in August of 2018. I still drank a little bit. I mean, I didn't like drink crazy. I didn't drink like, you know, this or vodka or anything like that, but I drank every day. And then I got a DUI in 2019. But prior to that DUI, I was fighting to quit alcohol. But I was in a daily, my mind was so accustomed to it. It was just something I did daily. I would work hard all day and then come home and I'd relax to a drink. But I knew where my life was with the Lord and the example I was to be setting for the Lord. Alcohol shouldn't have been a part of it. You know, there was no way with the ministry that the Lord had laid on my heart, but what God's word was calling me to be, I was drinking in excess and it had to stop. And I knew it had to stop. And every day the Holy Spirit would keep warning me, you need to quit, you need to quit. And I would say, I'm going to quit. Well, finally, in 2019, I just ran right down the street to get a little drink, because the liquor store was close by us. It was probably within 3/4 of a mile. And I got pulled over for a headlight being out. Something that silly. I wasn't driving drunk or crazy. Well, I was over the legal limit, so I shouldn't have been driving, period. It was a blessing. That DUI was a blessing because I wouldn't listen. I had to go through that consequence.
Jay, hold that thought. I want to hear about the DUI and what it did with your journey. But we have to go to break right now. You are listening to Better by the Minute Life with Becca on KSCO 1080 AM Santa Cruz. We will be right back. And we are back on Better by the Minute Live with Becca. Don't forget to go to my website, betterbytheminutelive.com, and check out all of my guests. Click on the air, and there you will have them all listed. One person can't relate to everybody. But as you're out there listening, and you've been listening over the months, somebody has caught your ear and has information or has a personality that can relate to you. And that's why we're here. We are bringing information that is empowering, something that you can relate to and people that you can relate to help you on that Better by the Minute life journey. Now, Jay, let's get back to your journey. And you had gotten pulled over on your way to get a drink. Go ahead and continue, please.
It was a blessing. That DUI was a blessing because I wouldn't listen. I had to go through that consequence. You know, God warned me. I know the Holy Spirit warned me. You better quit or you're going to pay the hard way. And I did. I was on probation for 18 months. I had to do daily breathalyzers for 18 months. I had to do it's like 240 hours of community service. I mean, it was nuts, but it was a blessing.
It got your attention.
It got my attention. And I'll tell you what, I did that 18 months of daily breathalyzers flawlessly. Because they don't play around here in Indiana, in Evansville. They don't play. You come one time and you have alcohol in your breath. I don't care if you took a sip, you're going to jail. Mm. And I wasn't going to jail. So for the first time in my life, I mean, I've been in and out of system. I got a petty record, possession of marijuana. I don't have anything crazy. I have possession of a syringe. Because, you know, I was a junkie. I graduated. I started out with, you know, snorting pills you can't get pills no more, but you can get this. And about the only way you can use this is through a needle. And so, hey, whatever it takes, I'm not going to be sick. I didn't care. And it caused me to lower my standards because I used to be so against that stuff. And I probably wrongfully used to judge people. Be careful. I tell you, be careful how you judge people, because that might be you one day. That's a lesson I learned in life. Just because someone sins different than you doesn't make you a better sinner than them. We're all sinners and we're all guilty before God. We have all violated one. Well, the Bible says if you violated one of the Ten Commandments, you violated all of them.
I saw a bumper sticker that said, "What makes your sin any less than mine?"
Exactly. A lot of truth to that.
Thinking. I'm like, no, that's absolutely right. There's right.
And I think the biggest thing for Christian conduct is others. It's how we treat other people. God's real big on how we treat people. And the Ten Commandments is summed up in love your neighbors yourself. You know, that's what Christ said.
Love and rule.
And, you know, I think that's what's so important about a part of my recovery today is I have learned to be humble. Yes, I'm a successful business owner, but I used to be prideful with that. You know, I was young. I was in my early 20s. I made more money than the average 20-year-old. And it was the best I ever did in my life. And this didn't really kind of come to my addictions when my sins were growing. I think the love of the money started growing on me. And the Bible says in Timothy, that's the root of all evil. So it ate me alive. I've learned today to just be humble, because the Bible says God loves the humble. And he hates a proud look. You know, pride will eat you up like a drug will. You know, when you think you're better than the next guy, you got trouble coming for you. You do.
It breaks my heart. You saw your mom murdered. Can't imagine.
It's a void that's been there for most of my life. I'm always on the outside looking in at people that have their moms. Like, I can see what that's like, but I just don't know.
Yeah,
it's tough. But it's a pain that has never went away. It's a pain that you learn to deal with. You know, you learn to cope with.
We did an episode on PTSD just a few weeks ago. Think about the effects that the situations have on young children. They are not as resilient as we think they are. And I would love for you, Jay, to share with us a little bit about how we, because you were talking about how we treat others, coming from that situation, how would you, or what would you recommend us to be more intentional about when we're dealing with others, whether we know their background, their situation or not, just children, teenagers, young adults. Because like you said, we don't know what somebody's going through.
I'll tell you, taking God at his word, it's the big F word. You know where I'm going with this, forgiveness. I had to forgive some big giants in my life. My mom's boyfriend that took my mother from me, I had to forgive him. And that didn't come at first.
I can't imagine.
I used to be really bitter towards him. I mean, I'm telling you that I'm 7 years old and I had hatred. I mean, a real hatred for someone. Where I used to cope with my pain, I used to think about how one day I would find him and torture him. And that would help me with my pain. That's how deep my hate used to be for him. And when I got arrested at 13 years old, I caught two felonies. It's why I think back. I was a 13-year-old felon. I gave my life to Christ. I was in the youth care center, which is juvenile jail, where I'm at here in Evansville, Indiana. And it's Christian based. So I believe it was once every Friday, they would have a guest come in and kind of share testimony, you know, preach a little bit. And I remember this guy, he had dark hair. I don't remember his name, but I remember his face. And he came to me and he says, "Are you ready to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?" And without hesitation, I said, "Yes." It was the first time I called Jesus Lord. And I trusted Christ as my Savior by what he did on the cross for my sins. I believe that he died for me. He was buried. He rose again that third day. And that was kind of like the prayer I prayed. And once that happened, something changed inside of me. I became a new creature. The Holy Spirit came and lived inside of me. And when I went to juvenile prison, a short time later, a few months later, you go to a satellite or you go to a kind of like a holding facility up far up northern Indiana. It's called Logansport Juvenile Correctional Facility. You go there for like 2 weeks and then they decide where they send you from there. Well, the place they sent me to was a satellite. And I tell you, I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know anything about the Bible, but I remember it clear as day. It was late at night. I was in my room. And it was laid on my heart that I needed to forgive the man that murdered my mom. I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know the scripture. But this was God in me. This was Christ in me saying, "Hey, kid, you need to let this go. You need to forgive him." And it laid so heavy on my heart. And I remember laying that hate down at the feet of Christ. And I declared my forgiveness over him. And something changed in me when I did that. when I let go of that hatred, when I let go of that bitterness and that malice, when I gave it to the Lord and I forgave him, that was day one of my recovery. And that's huge. That's huge to God. When you treat, how you treat people. If you walk around with this bitterness, you know, people do horrible things to us, vice versa. We do horrible things to other people and we're sorry for them. But the Bible is pretty clear on this one. In Colossians 3:13, if any man have a quarrel against one another, even so as Christ forgave you, so do ye. And, you know, God's real big on, you know, I think that's what it comes down to when you have to look at who you are and what Christ did for you on that cross and how he forgave you. Even while you were still a sinner, when you didn't deserve the forgiveness, Christ died for you. I think you have to use that same mindset, the mind of Christ. The Bible says, let the mind of Christ be in you. You have to have the same thinking that Christ had towards us, towards other people. So I believe that's it. You know, we have to forgive others. And so when this happened to my dad, I had two guys to forgive. Two men to forgive. And I knew this time I had the word of God in me. I had Ephesians 4:32 in me. I had Ephesians 4:30, 4:31. Those are important scriptures on forgiveness. You can read Romans chapter 12. It talks about, towards the end of Romans 12, it talks about how we're supposed to love our enemies, you know, because this is the light of Christ in us. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the light that should be shining in and through you. And if you're walking around with hatred in you because of what somebody's did to you, you're not shining the glory of God. Because the glory of God says the cross. And anytime something's happened to you or you're struggling with something that somebody's done to you, look to the cross. And give it to the Lord, because when you don't, bitterness, anger, malice, hatred, it's like a cancer and it starts out small. And the longer you hold on to it, it'll grow inside of you and it'll eat you alive. And you'll walk around being the most bitter person. You know, you won't feel right. You'll need medication to deal and cope with it. And it ain't cool. And if you're like me, you'll self-medicate. So I think that's been huge. So when that happened to my dad, I knew immediately. I that was one of the first things I did is forgave him right there and then. And I started praying for the two men that killed my father. And I prayed that somehow, some way through this, that they would see the glory of God. And I prayed for their salvation. And I, whatever sin that was in them that caused this, I prayed that it would be removed from them. And I remember a big group of my Christian brothers at my dad's funeral. We all gathered around in a circle and we prayed over that. And prayer was so powerful in that time, you know. So one thing I did learn early in life is not to hold grudges, not to be bitter towards people, forgive people. I'm scared of it. I'm scared of, you know, yeah, things happen to you, but 9 times out of 10, forgiveness isn't for the next person. It's for you, you know, because you're supposed to be the example. So, yeah, I think that's where it is.
And for me, the people that I had bitterness for that had done me wrong, they didn't even remember what they had done. Because of, you know, different circumstances. So me forgiving somebody else, it took that load off of me so that I could have that love of Christ continuing to shine through me. Because otherwise, it does. It leaves a dark bitterness and it can be seen. It can be felt.
Yes.
And it does affect your other relationships.
It does. And, you know, I see it all the time and it breaks my heart. And I can't imagine how God, he has his ways. He's God, he's big, he knows how to deal with it. But there's a place in the Bible in Ephesians, I think it's Ephesians 4:32, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of your redemption. I can't understand God, how he can be joyful and grievous at the same time. But his heart grieves when we walk around with this bitterness. I mean, there's so many reasons why I choose to forgive. I don't want to grieve God. There's reasons why I choose to want to glorify God with my life today and stay sober, because I know what it feels like when I'm living a life that's grievous to the Lord. And I my attitude of gratitude, God removed this. He removed this addiction from me. You know, I fought this all my life. I think I can comfortably say today I'm living a life that glorifies him. I mean, I do still fail him daily, but I try. And I think the Lord sees the effort. And that's what's mattering. And that and I look to grow daily. I'll tell you, it's a daily thing. Every day I try to go to my knees in prayer and humble myself before God. That used to not be my attitude. I used to be, oh, I'm too busy, or I got to hurry up and go and not take time out for the Lord. And you don't want to ever say, I don't have time for the Lord. That's a scary place to be in life. It really is. And I've learned that. And I've failed at that most of my life. But today I have learned the importance. Don't ever say you're too busy for the Lord. I don't care. It takes 5 minutes to read a chapter in the Bible. 5 minutes is better than nothing, you know, two minutes.
So share with me, since you've been doing this on a regular basis, is it easier to go each day without having that desire for a substance?
Yeah, it really is. It's like cakewalk now, but that's because of being in Christ daily. I think once if I start getting away from it, some of that might start creeping back up in me. You know, once you become Christ, once you belong to the Lord, there's only one way your life's going to work, and that's serving him. That's serving Christ. And if you step outside of that, it's not going to work for you, and you're going to wind up back in your same old ways, you know, when you start stepping away from the Lord. So, yeah, as long as I continue with this attitude of choosing Christ daily, yeah, you know, I believe it's easy. It, you know, it's hard to say. It doesn't seem like 5 years since I put the needle down. It doesn't seem like it. Time is going by so fast, it's scary, but it's good. It's good. I did get a divorce, and I think that was the biggest test for my life. It's because I've never been out here on my own without a significant other and been able to hold it together for this long. So I've just coming up on 1 year of my lease being up October 1st. So I've been here for almost a year now. I'm getting ready to get a new house, which I'm moving this weekend, praise the Lord. So, but I've went almost a whole year on my own without anyone, without no loneliness. I used to be lonely when I was on my own, and that can be dangerous too. Loneliness means you're not serving Christ and you're trying to find what you should be finding in Christ. You're trying to find in other people, and you will never find that. You'll wind up getting mixed up with somebody you shouldn't get mixed up with. So if you're on your own and you're lonely, it just means that you need to seek Christ and only Christ. Because if you try to seek it in someone else, you're never going to find what you can only find in Christ.
Let's talk about a few of those things that you do find in Christ that we're seeking in other people. I mean, hope. Someone to depend on. Yes. Someone to, you know, pick up the pieces when we can't do it ourselves.
Yes.
Something bigger than us to believe in.
Yeah. And you know what? At the end of the day, people fail us. And, you know, human beings, they will fail you. Christ will never fail you, ever. So it's better to have your relationship good with the Lord before you go get in a relationship with someone else, because you're going to bring baggage to them that they don't need in their life. So having someone in your life should be an addition and not a reason for your happiness. Happiness can only be found in Christ. True joy can only be found in Christ. And once you belong to Christ, there's no getting out. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:13. You have a seal. God is not letting you go. You're His. Once you become His, you're His. So if you try to go back to the world and try to do it the way of the world, you're going to fail. And not only do I know that by the word of God, but I know that by experience more times than I like to say. So it is an honor to say that for the first time in my life, I've won a whole year of being on my own. And I haven't touched a drop of alcohol. I haven't picked up a drug. I have picked up my Bible. That has been my go-to. And loving people, you know, I mean, I'm in a business where I meet customers. I'm in the people business. I go in people's homes. They have a trust for me. And I have a genuine appreciation for their business. I love them as people, even when some of them may not be so nice to me. I pray for every one of my customers. People I come in contact with, you know, some people are just so tough to deal with, but I wind up at the end of the day saying, or I pray over them, you know, or pray for them, or, you know, I just know the importance of quickly giving it to the Lord, you know, give it to the Lord, you know. But I'll tell you, another important part is being in the Word, because if I wasn't in the Word daily, that's critical to my sobriety, you know, staying plugged into God's Word. God's Word is sharper than any two-edged sword, Hebrews 11 tells us. You know, it's powerful. And when you have that Word of God, when you get the Word of God in you, you can be a walking Bible. And I use that in so many situations, the Word of God to come out in me. So that's my strength today. It's Christ. That's how I'm able to go 5 years staying clean and sober. It's seeking Christ daily, staying humble. God hates a proud look, the Word says. And, you know, just having a heart of gratitude and being thankful for all things. And, you know, I give it to the Lord. That's how I continue to stay clean and sober today, is I can only point to the Lord and my choices I make for Him.
That's awesome. And I love the fact that you are able to encounter people in your business that you have created, and you haven't let your past stop you from going into business for yourself. You haven't let your past keep you from, or keep you isolated from society, where you have experienced so much that would close a person down to wanting to even look at another person. Yet you're in a business, you're going out, you're meeting new people, you're praying for your customers, and just showing the love of God in all that you do. And that is so commendable, Jay. That's awesome. And, you know, we're coming up on the close of this radio program. I can't believe that we're filling a whole hour here, where we were talking about just doing like part of an hour. But wow, your story, you know, and what you have been through is going to touch others. and help them see that it's not just us. We do not have to be alone.
Right.
We have the ability. And one thing that I love, because I was saved at a very young age, I love the fact that he allows U-turns.
Yes.
And we can come back at any time. And when we've hit that rock bottom, which, praise God, I have not hit rock bottom like other people have. But when we do, and we realize how much better life is when we're not in it alone. And I'm not talking about another person. I'm talking about having Christ within us. Then life just goes so much easier, so much better.
Amen.
And you've experienced that. And I just thank you so much for coming on with me today, sharing your story, and being a light in your community.
God is good, Rebecca, and it's been an honor. It's been a blessing to be able to shine the light of Christ and to know that, hey, I know if you don't know the Lord, it's hard. It's hard, but all you do, you say the name of Jesus, you believe he died on the cross for your sins, and that he was buried and rose again on that third day for your justification. That's step one. You call on the name of Jesus, and you ask him. Because when I was 13, and that first time, I didn't know God, but here I am almost 25 years later. Wow. God is big. He's huge. And
yes, he is.
He has shown himself to me more times than I can count. And his glory radiates in and through me. What a blessing. Thanks, Rebecca.
That is a blessing. Thank you, Jay. I am so excited to have you as part of my community and people that I know. I really look forward to following you and staying in touch. Thank you again for coming on Better by the Minute Life with Becca.
You betcha. Thank you.
Wow, what an amazing story. I can't imagine what Jay went through. And as we're going through life and we're around different people, we don't know what they've gone through. So how we treat them can affect some of the next minutes and moments of their life and the decisions that they make. You have been listening to Better by the Minute Life with Becca. Visit my website, betterbytheminutelife.com, and click on guests. You'll find more information about the guests that I have had. But on that website, you'll also find information about myself and the things that I offer in helping others create a Better by the Minute Life. And if you're looking to do the same, I'm looking for people to join me in this journey of life and create a Better by the Minute Life with finances as well. You are listening to KSCO 1080 AM Santa Cruz. Bye for now.